Like I said earlier, I spent the week at Templed Hills, which was good. When I originally made kind of our summer outline for a sermon series, I originally wrote Templed Hills recap on here, and next to preacher it said Jason and Gary. I mean, he should be up here with me, right? And yet he's over in Livingston this morning. So you just get me this morning, even though Gary and I led the camp together. But we had a really great week, and it was fantastic. The kids were great, and we had really great discussions. I called my sermon this morning A Week in the Shack, which that could mean lots of things at Templed Hills, right? That could just be like a week in some of the cabins, right? A week in the shack. But I called it that because our theme for the week, or the medium that we used to discuss various themes throughout the week, was the movie The Shack. So based on the book by the same title, which just came out. And So we talked about a couple of ideas the first couple sessions, and then on Tuesday night we showed the movie, and then we spent the rest of the week kind of unpacking some of the themes from the movie. So I'm not going to talk about the movie too much, but my ideas this morning definitely come from that movie and are some of the themes that we explored during the course of the week. So how many of you have read the book and or seen the movie? Some, quite a few of you. So I promise I won't spoil it. But to give kind of broad details that will get the point across enough, there's a main character. His name is Mac, and he has a family, three little kids, and an event happens in his life that rocks his entire world. The way that he describes that event and kind of the emotions that follow is he calls it the great sadness. An event happens in his life that is so traumatic that he's almost shell-shocked. There's a bit of a PTSD, what's going on. He's in a fog, he's dazed, and he can't seem to get to break out of the great sadness, even to the point where at a point in the movie he even considers suicide. It's gotten that bad. And so Mac is dealing with the great sadness, and in the midst of that he receives a random note from God, who in his wife's language is Papa. He receives a note from Papa saying, "I want you to come back to the shack," which is kind of the epicenter of his pain. "I want you to come to the shack," and then Mac ends up having this weekend experience with the Trinity in the shack, and there's a process of healing and closure that happens in the movie. Mac has to deal with all sorts of junk in his life, and he's wrestling with all sorts of themes, things like his relationship with God, themes like trust, judgment, forgiveness, so that he can move through his great sadness and come to a healthier place at the end. Probably my favorite line in the whole movie, I think it's kind of the crux that the movie hangs on, and it's a really significant line for us. It's often a barrier that holds us back from deep faith and even friendship with God. In the movie, the line goes like this. Papa, the father, kind of the father part of the Trinity, says to Mac, and Papa is played by a black woman. So excuse me if I confuse my gender pronouns here. But Papa, she says to Mac, "The real flaw in your life is that you don't think I'm good, and I am." And she says it in this beautiful kind of southern accent. The real flaw in your life is that you don't think I'm good, and I am. It's this fantastic line. In the book, it reads a little bit differently, and maybe highlights my thesis this morning a little bit more. In the book, it reads like this. The real underlying flaw in your life, Mackenzie, that's his full name, is that you don't think I'm good. If you knew I was good, and that everything, the means, the ends, and all the processes of individual lives is covered by my goodness, then while you might not always understand what I am doing, you would trust me. But you don't. You don't think I'm good, and I am. And I think the entire movie kind of hangs on this line. God is good. And if you follow the narrative and the moral arc of Scripture, if you look at the entirety of Scripture from beginning to end, and especially if you're searching for who God is and what God is like, and if you think of that especially as embodied in Jesus, I think Scripture is decidedly clear about God's goodness. There are little details here and there that are up for interpretation. But if you look at the entirety of Scripture, the entire arc, where it's heading from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, and especially allow Jesus to kind of be the pivot where the whole narrative arc turns on, I think it is decidedly clear that God is good. You see it in lots of little individual passages, like Matthew 7, verse 11. Which of you, this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you. This sums up the law and the prophets. God is a good Father giving good gifts. Or James 1, 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Or in Exodus 34, there's this really fun passage as Moses is up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. He's about to go down, but God kind of comes down to Moses and says, Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God is good. Or, of course, as you're thinking about whether God is good or not, the story that comes to my mind most clearly is the book of Job. Right? The entire story of Job's life. I'm not going to read individual parts, but if you think about the story, it starts out with Job doing just fine. Right? Everything is good. He's a good, faithful man. And yet his whole life is taken away from him by Satan. Takes everything from him. And then, like, the next 32 chapters are Job getting terrible advice from his friends. Right, Tim? It's most of the book is Job getting terrible advice from his friends, telling him things like you must have done something wrong in order for this to happen to you, or maybe your parents did. You should just curse God and die. Just be done with all of this. It's over. It just, 32 chapters of terrible advice from his friends. And then God responds with kind of this four-chapter verbal beatdown of goodness, about God's power and justice and love. God shows up and is kind of like, enough of this. That's not what I'm like. I'm not that kind of God. Stop saying that I am. I didn't do this to you. And you have no idea what I'm like. If you think that I did any of this, you have no idea how good I am. You have no idea how powerful and just and loving I am. And then the book ends with Job and this speech from a humbled man. Like, you're right. I don't get it at all. You're way different than I thought. And it's this repentance scene. I think we could go on and on and on preaching about God's goodness. And I think it's clear in Scripture. The problem is that while I am thoroughly convinced that God is good, and I'm assuming that most of you are as well, I'm assuming that you would say that with your mouth, yeah, God is good, God is a good God. While I am thoroughly convinced that God is good, I often don't behave as if God is good. There's something that gets, some sort of blockage between my brain and my heart and my actions, where even though I could say with my mouth, God is good, I don't behave as if that's a true statement. If I really believed and behaved as if God were good, I think it would change everything about my life, and I would be a totally different person than I am. So I want to unpack that, just that thought, just for a few minutes here, using some of the themes from the movie that I mentioned earlier, the themes that arise for Mac. So he has to deal with his relationship with God. And so I would say that if God is good, then my relationship with him should be one of friendship. It should be one where I'm not walking on eggshells hoping not to disappoint God. It shouldn't be a relationship where God is this cosmic vending machine that I just call on, I put my tokens in when I need him, and he gives me grace or he gives me power, and then the rest of the time he's non-existent to me. If I actually believed that God was good, I think my relationship with him would look differently. I think there would be more of a friendship, more of a partnership, more of me talking with him morning and evening, telling him about my day, telling him about my hopes and my fears. We would be friends, talking, sharing life. I would include God in every area of my existence, and yet I don't. I'm not sure that I believe that God is that kind of God, that is good and wants to have relationship and wants to be our friend. I still kind of treat him as this other thing, this being that's out there and isn't good and intimate and close with us. Similarly, Mac has to deal with the theme of trust. He doesn't trust God because he doesn't think that God is good. He's had this tragedy happen to him, and he doesn't believe that God is good enough to be trusted, and so he doesn't. If God is good, then he is to be trusted. We start to trust. If I actually believe that enough where it impacts my behavior, then I would behave as if God has my best in mind, that God is actively working to bring about healthy faithfulness in my life. I would act as if God can be relied on for guidance and direction. I would trust him to make some decisions for me, to help guide me into the right kind of faithful decisions. But I try my best to do things my own way. I don't trust God. I think I know better than him. I'm not sure that he's got my best in mind. I don't think that he knows what's best for me. And so I don't trust God that his way is best and good. I don't behave as if I actually believe that God is good. Mac has to deal with judgment. Yeah, he's a judger. He judges everything. Everyone else is at fault. He's always scapegoating everyone else for all of his mistakes. And I'm like that too. I'm a judger. You're a judger. I think we all struggle with that. Here I was driving home from camp yesterday morning, and I stopped in Livingston to grab some breakfast at a drive-thru, at the McDonald's drive-thru on my way home. And I'd just been wrestling with this. I was the one who was teaching all this, preaching all this, and here I'm at the drive-thru. It's taking way too long, and I'm waiting forever for some kind of incompetent workers, and I felt my brain going to that place, like, what are these people doing? Like, are they super incompetent? Like, why? What is taking so long? They couldn't get anything right. I was, like, watching them. They had to, like, walk it, and my brain is going to this judging place, and I think that we don't behave as if God knows what's best for the world if we want to judge. We don't behave as if God is a good God who created a good creation and created very good people that are made in the image of God if we want to judge. In that moment, I wasn't behaving as if God is good and did his best in creating that person that was a little slower than I wanted him to be at the drive-thru. So we jump in and do the judging for ourselves, because God obviously isn't doing it right. God should fire that employee at McDonald's, so I might just call in and comment. Right? I jump in and I want to judge because I don't trust that God is doing his job. I think I can do a better job than God. And so I judge. And then finally, Mac has to walk through this time of forgiveness. And it's the hardest moment in the scene. He's experienced this great sadness. There's been this awful tragedy perpetrated by someone else. And he has to forgive. When I think about God, I think that this is the characteristic of God that is the most shockingly good, because it's the hardest. It was the hardest thing for Mac. It happens at the end of the movie because it's the most challenging thing that he has to go through. And we invited kids at camp to kind of think through some things, and some of them made some really, really hard decisions, a lot of tearful decisions about, I need to let that person go. That person wounded me, and I need to let them go. And as we think about God, I love the fact that God has set the bar really high, but has also shown the road forward for us in the way of forgiveness. God is a good God, and I think his most shocking characteristic is that he forgives when he really shouldn't. He forgives way better and way more often than I want him to. I often don't want God to forgive as freely as he wants to, as he does. But he is a good God. I want him to judge certain people or behaviors and to not offer forgiveness. Don't forgive that. Don't let that person slide. I don't want to see that person standing next to me in heaven. Right? I think we all struggle with this. And I think at a basic level, it's a failure to behave as if we actually believe that God is good. When I fail to forgive, I'm declaring with my life that I don't really believe God to be good, that he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm failing to act like him and to forgive like him. And so I'm inviting us this morning to not just believe that God is good, but to actually behave as if God is good. And I think it will radically change everything. May we leave here today reminded of God's goodness. I haven't said anything terribly profound, and yet I think that we just need that reminder every once in a while, that we worship a good God who loves and forgives and seeks justice and redemption, who wants to redeem all things. And Mac has to come to that place in the movie, in the book, where he just releases to God for God to do everything on his own, to let God be the judge, to let God forgive. And may we do the same. May we leave here today reminded of God's goodness. As we go about our lives and interact with our world, may we truly behave as if God is good, having a relationship of friendship with him, trusting that his way is good and filled with blessing, allowing God to sit on the judgment seat and not us, and forgiving freely and abundantly as our good God forgives. May we go forth to behave as our good God behaves. And may we awake each morning to the same words Papa shares with Mac in the movie. The real flaw in your life is that you don't think that I am good. I am. Let's pray together. God, it's a simple truth that you are good. We read about it in Scripture. We read about it throughout the Psalms. We can know it in our mind. And yet, I think our major flaw is that we don't behave as if we actually believe that. And so I pray that you would encourage us, challenge us, strengthen us to be people who trust, to be people who leave judgment up to you, to be people who forgive, knowing full well that you have already forgiven, that you are a God who overlooks so much. You have overlooked so much in us and the things that we have done to hurt you. And so I pray that you would change our behaviors to reflect you, to be good because you are good. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.